It's Wednesday afternoon, time for Money Trends, SOT Money Trends with Metairie Bank on WWL. I just want to take a moment and thank all of you who are texting and saying that your thoughts and prayers are with Helen Centeni, our executive producer, who is, has passed away. She was battling with ALS for a long time, and she's now passed away. But we know where she is, and we're comfortable with that idea. But thank all of you for offering your thoughts and prayers for Helen and her family. All right, Paul Myers is North Shore Market President for Metairie Bank. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, Scoot. And I'd like to echo that. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with her family and the WWL family, because you know, when we work together, and it sounds like I never met Helen, but it sounds like when you work together with such phenomenal people, they really become family. They're not just coworkers. So my thoughts are with you, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Thanks, Paul. Hey, look, let's talk about inflation and the Feds and what's going on. You know, there are those who, because of their political ideology, they argue that the economy is in the dumper, but there are signs that the economy is doing well. It doesn't mean that it's well for everybody, and there's inflation, and that is a big problem that seems to get in the way of some of the things that are used to measure the economy, like the stock market and unemployment. Those things all look good, but inflation is really hurting a lot of Americans.
You know, it's really a challenging time right now, and it's funny, I was thinking about it, Scoot. You know, the first part of my adult life, inflation wasn't really talked about all that much because it always seemed to be kind of kept under wraps. And then when you read more about the time when Paul Volcker was Fed chair in the 80s and the craziness of the post-Jimmy Carter through the early days of Reagan presidency, you're exactly right. It was kind of all over the place. But and the good news is that inflation has come down compared to where it was at its height, right? So we're just below 3%, or right there at 3%. But at one point it was well over the 6% range. So I mean, we've come down, but we're not there yet. And there's a lot of challenges associated with where interest rates are, and I think that there's a lot of people that are doing very well, and there's a lot of people that are feeling the bite, if you will, of a different market than maybe what they've been accustomed to over the last even 10 or 15 years.
And so what might the Feds do? I mean, if inflation stays down, that's good. So that would keep the Feds out of it, right?
Well, if inflation stays down, then the reality is, so there's only so many levers that the Fed can pull. And by raising the rates, what they wanted to do is they wanted to slow down the economy, right? Because what was happening was we had so much money being pumped into that pandemic era with a lot of the money that's coming in through different government programs and so on and so forth. And what we had then is we had problems with supply chains. Well, now the supply chains have started to ease, but the economy continues to roll if you look at all of the numbers. Now, I know the job numbers came in a little lighter than what they were anticipated. There's always noise in there, and there's adjustments up and down and so on. But the numbers weren't – but overall, the economy, based upon the indices and the metrics by which the Fed looks, we're still doing fairly well. So if we are, then that probably leaves more of the Fed hitting the pause button, not necessarily increasing the rates, but at least – riding this out, because if we're still not quite to the 2%, which is the benchmark inflation rate that they set, then they're going to have to ride it out, because what they don't want to do is start lowering rates, which is what happened in 1986 under Volcker, and then all of a sudden inflation kicked back up, and then they had to raise rates again. So, you know, what does that do to the consumer sentiment? And the public sentiment associated with the economy, if now we're starting to do the roller coaster of interest rates.
Yeah, I've talked often about my personal situation, and you know, I don't have kids to take care of, and so my grocery bill is something that I don't have to. I'm very fortunate that I don't have to fight with my grocery bill, but I really feel for those people who have to fight over their grocery bill every day, what to buy and what not to buy. And for those people, you can tell them the economy's doing well, but if they have to really fight over decisions about what to get at the grocery store, then that's a tough situation to be in, and the economy's not good for those people.
There's no question. There's no question. And please don't misunderstand me when I say that the economy looks strong. I'm just saying the indices for which the Fed tends to look
right.
at.
Right. No, I understand.
No question. There are people in varying socioeconomic situations that absolutely it is a tough time. Fortunately, I think hopefully we're going to see some reprieve in the future with respect to interest rates coming down, hopefully making things a little bit more affordable. We've got the challenges in Louisiana with insurance costs, so hopefully we're going to see some redirection on that. So, hopefully positive things are coming, but that doesn't change what the grocery bill looks like today. So that is absolutely a challenge that most all Americans are facing in some level.
Yeah, I mean, I am too. I don't want to make it seem like I can. I can't buy the most expensive of everything. I mean, there are a couple of items like, okay, I will buy the most expensive toilet paper and paper towels. You know, there's a few things on our grocery list that we'll buy the most expensive of, and we'll spend a little less on something else or eliminate something else. And I'm sure everybody's got those items on their list, but. You know, I do have to watch what I buy, but I'm fortunate that it really is not a big issue, and I just again feel for those people who do have a problem with that every week. And also, Paul, when the interest rate goes up, I mean, this is a ripple effect that just ripples through it's like a tsunami through the entire economy.
And it is. It does make it things more challenging. It does make things more expensive if you're a small business owner and you're looking to expand and you need working capital in the form of a line of credit, or you want to buy that new building. Those are going to cost more. If you need to build something, the cost of the materials is going to be elevated, and the cost to from the builder is going to be elevated simply because their costs have gone up. So it absolutely does present a challenge and a ripple effect that a lot of us truthfully scoot in that we've been under such low rates for a long period of time, going back to even if you think following 9/11 when the rates went from, I want to say prime was in the 8.5-9% range. It went down to, I believe, in the 4.25-4.5 range. And those are rates that hadn't been seen hardly ever before then. So you've got to think now, if you say that from 9/11, we've got over 20 years of really low rates. So you've got generations of people that when they look and they say, wait, prime's in the eights, Wall Street Journal prime is in the eights. How does that make sense? So it's a very, very different animal than what most people have grown accustomed to in their adult life when they had to start paying bills. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, this isn't going to make anyone feel better. This isn't going to ease the pain at the cash register. But historically, if you look at it, the rate scenario for which we are in now is actually relatively more in line with what we have seen throughout our nation's history when we started monitoring Wall Street Journal prime rate and tracking it. So. Again, that's not going to make anybody else feel better, but it is, if you look at it statistically and historically, it is something that's more in line historically.
But it's fair to say that overall, everything considered, the economy's okay right now.
The economy, based upon the indices, based upon what the Fed looks at, yes, the economy is continuing to go strong with consumer goods sales and all of the other things, which makes it difficult for the Fed to say, okay, we've now hit where we need to, let's start to pull back rates.
You know, a reminder that the economy changes for everybody comes when there's a storm. When there's a storm, a hurricane, there are so many people, the masses are absolutely financially devastated in so many ways, but there are people who become rich in the aftermath of a storm because of what they do, because they're part of the rebuilding process. They're part of lifting homes there are people who benefit. So it's just a reminder that the economy is not always good for everybody at the same time.
Look, and Scoot, to that point, you're exactly right. We see it in hurricanes. We see it in the great financial crisis that happened in 2007, 2008, 2009, there were people who lost everything. And then there were people, and I'm talking about ordinary people, not people of traumatic wealth, but there were ordinary people that made generational fortunes in acquiring real estate. So, right. Yes, you're exactly right. It's those people finding opportunities, but every situation and every economic situation or things that happen historically, everyone is impacted differently.
Paul Myers is North Shore Market President with Metairie Bank. Paul, thanks for being with us for SOTA Money Trends on WWL.
Scoot, have a great day. And again, I am sorry for your loss.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much.